Hi, and welcome to the Burlington United Methodist Church podcast. I'm Pastor Josh. We continue our current sermon series, What Did I Sign Up For? And today's message is titled, To Share Life Change. The passage for the sermon is Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And it says, They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, Come out of this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, What is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, of about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and in the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. I hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
If nothing else, at church you're going to develop your vocabulary.
I had gone over that half a dozen times.
What would convince you more? If someone had a product or of a restaurant or a movie or a book, who would you believe more, a salesman or a friend? If there was something that was life-changing or supposedly life-changing, would you trust that friend or family member, or would you trust the person paid to promote it? Probably goes without saying, doesn't it? And on the other side of that, we want to share things that have impacted our lives. Experiences that we've had that we want family members and friends to also have those same experiences. But when it comes to those who are paid or those who are just fall in line with the next fad, sometimes we get a little skeptical, right? I know for myself, when essential oils were becoming a thing, I was quite skeptical. Was the last fad, was it just another quick rich scheme, or was it something like Amway where they get you into a membership and you end up buying stuff upon stuff upon stuff and stuff. And so, when they told us, these oils can impact your life, I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. I've never heard of this before. But it was a couple from our church who said, just give it a whirl. And of course, I trusted their opinion because they were two people who I trusted pretty good. And so we tried it out. And as one who used to get shots for my allergies, after diffusing essential oils, my allergies got better and I did not need the shot anymore. It worked. And so we were bought in, and we've been sharing. Actually, we just shared with a friend of mine who's in the doctorate program who lives in Michigan about our experience with essential oils. And of course, not everything works for everyone, but something might work. I mean, if my allergies can get better, who knows for anybody else? We want to, when we share these things, hopefully, again, the people will have the same experience, that they will want to join us in those things. And sometimes it's hard and hurtful when people can be a little skeptical about those situations, about, you know, saying, yes, I would like to try out that product, or maybe try out this whole Jesus thing, this whole church thing. And one of the things that has to underline this is because, again, we have this vision that when we say, please come, that they will say yes. Like when I was, when the Marvel movies were just starting to come out and become kind of a big deal, it was my hope that my wife would join me in going to the movie theater to watch these movies based off comic books. And it wasn't until the Avengers movie, so after several had come out, that we went not just once, we went twice to the theater to see the Avengers movie. It's like, yes! And for me, I have that same excitement when people want to try church and they're willing and want to come back because something is going on. There's an experience that they had. So it's not just my word for it, or it's not just their friend's word for it. It's something they are experiencing here. Or maybe they're experiencing in their devotion time at home, but there's something that has happened that they've come face to face with God for themselves, and not just because some pastor up front says so. And that is also the hope for every parent, because you want your kids and eventually your grandkids for their faith to be something that is their own, not just something that's been handed to them, that they have their own experiences. But the thing is, we have to share the story, tell about our own life change. That's the only way this whole thing spreads is, as we talked about last week, Jesus says to go out and make disciples, to teach them, to share with them this thing that God is doing in the world. But if we don't say anything, if we keep it to ourselves, it's not going to spread, it's not going to expand, it's not going to be added onto this thing we call church. And God has a vision that one day he is going to come back and he's going to gather everyone from the four corners of the earth and he's going to gather them to his place. And when there's a new heaven and new earth, we're all going to be in his house at his table celebrating without sickness, without pain, without death. This is the vision God has casted for you and me when Jesus returns. Amen indeed. But the temptation is for churches and individual Christians is to lose that vision. To maybe push it to the side because maybe we get comfortable, maybe things get difficult. And I was looking at, you know, how this could, you know, this plays out into the world. One of the best examples is when businesses, when they lose their purpose, when their mission kind of gets sidetracked, when there's no compelling vision for them to pursue, they kind of tend to disappear. And, of course, the first business I'm going to tell you is called Sears. Where's Sears? I mean, you used to get the Sears catalog, and it was a big deal when you went to Sears. And I know growing up, the only place to get Craftsman tools was to get Sears. And if you know anything about tools, you want Craftsman tools because they're the best. But where's Sears? Let me give out another name, Blockbuster. We have Netflix now. Blockbuster didn't have a compelling vision to adapt to what Netflix was doing. And of course, now we have Disney Plus, we have Hulu, we have Peacock, we have all these different streaming services. Because they saw they had a vision to do something for the customer. And as I was even looking back a little further, because, you know, I'm a movie dork, you've heard me share about this, and I watch documentaries about movies. That's how big of a dork I am into it. But I was watching one on Star Wars, and Star Wars didn't have a typical theatrical release that we think about today. It started in one market. And it was because people went back, and then they invited their friends to come with them, and then they went back again, and then, of course, there was lines wrapping around the buildings. It's how Star Wars was able to become Star Wars. And then it extended to other markets, and people would go there, and they told their friends, and they would go back and back and back and back and back. And, of course, now Star Wars is this huge, giant thing now. But it was only made possible not just because a lot of money was thrown into a movie, but it's because people told their friends about it. And they wanted to share this experience, this thing called Star Wars, where there are these laser swords and this, you know, this funny guy named Harrison Ford. Because without it, there's no Indiana Jones. And I would be lost without Indiana Jones. But a life-changing experience, movie theater, restaurant, oh, you got to try these burritos or the steak. Or this experience at the store, or this awesome, you know, way to now you can get stuff from the online delivered directly to your door. Now we have this thing called Amazon. An experience that changes lives, that brings, you know, like in the business world, convenience. It's amazing what a life-changing experience can do for somebody, and what it can do for a people, and what it can do for the world. Jesus and the disciples take a simple boat ride across the Sea of Galilee, and they go to this area near the Gerasenes, and it's in this whole region called the Decapolis. There's your seminary word for the day, Decapolis, also known as a $500 word. It cost me about $500 to learn in seminary, so you can make out checks to me or Allie. Kidding, but I won't turn it down. Student loans are still coming. But Jesus and disciples, they go up and they come to this area and they come to this kind of graveyard, and there's this man who is, he's been alone, he's by himself, he's been shackled, he's been cutting himself. We find out he is demon-possessed. And it, not just, you know, one demon or a couple demons, it says we are legion, which would tells us that there's about 5,000 to 6,000 demons who are crammed into this guy who is torturing his mind, his body, and his soul day in and day out. He is out of control, and the community has no other option than to isolate him away from everyone else. And they keep tying him up and putting chains on him, and he keeps breaking these things. And then one day, Jesus and the disciples show up, and the demons, of course, inside there, they recognize Jesus. And he runs up to him and says, "What are you doing here, Jesus?" And basically, in Greek, it's kind of like, "Jesus, would you please, you know, not bug us? We're not bothering you. Just leave us alone." But throughout the dialogue, Jesus, you know, is in command of the situation, and he casts out the demons into these pigs. The pigs go in, you know, they die, and people go and they run back, and of course, you know, they draw a lot of attention because, you know, 2,000 pigs just died. I mean, that's a big pain on the pocketbook for that community, not just those farmers. And all of a sudden, there's this giant crowd. And they come back and they see this man who these demons have been living in for so long. He is now back in his right mind, and he is dressed. He is calm. He is like everyone else, except maybe he still has the scars. But just by looking at him, they can see that his life is different. That it has been changed because of this Jesus that has showed up. Now, of course, as they, you know, their pocketbooks are hurting, they want Jesus to go away because it's not good for business. It's hurting the bank account. But it tells us that this man who was once possessed, he wants to go with Jesus. And I can picture, you know, this man who, as Jesus and disciples are getting back on the boat, he tries to step on and Jesus says, "Nope, go home. Go share what the Lord has done, how he has shown you mercy." Which is interesting because, as you know, and again for myself, I'm thinking, you know, it would hurt for Jesus to say no. Because over and over and over again, we see Jesus says, "Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me." And this guy's like, "I want to follow you. Go home." But Jesus has a positive purpose. Because this man who's been isolated, who's been by himself, who has been basically marginalized to the extreme, now has the opportunity to rejoin his family. He now has the opportunity to rejoin his community. So he no longer has to be out in the sideline. He can now be with his people again and not be worried about being ostracized or pushed out. He is now re-included with his people. But then with the command, Jesus says, "I want you to share what the Lord has done for you. I want you to spread to everyone that you encounter what has happened here, how you were once enslaved by demons, and now how you are free, and how you've experienced this mercy, this love." And it says the man, he didn't just go home. He went to the Decapolis, which is this giant region based off 10 major cities. So he didn't just go home to tell maybe his wife or kids or mom and dad. He told everybody that he could. He went to his neighbor's house. He went across town. He went to the next town over. He went across the state. He went into the next state over to say, guess what the Lord has done for me, because they would have known who he was. And he could show the evidence of the scars, and he'd be able to tell the story. But the major thing about this is that he went to this area called the Decapolis. The Decapolis is a place of historical significance in the Bible. Now, going back to when the Israel and led by Joshua was going into the Holy Land, they pushed out these pagan people out of Canaan, out of the Holy Land, and about seven of these nations had been pushed into this area, which at Jesus' time is known as the Decapolis. And these were very pagan people. These were people who were resistant. They were uninterested in Israel's God, and of course, they fought with Israel. And of course, they were pushed out because God did not want to have Baal worshipers amongst his people, because as Baal worshippers, there was sexual perversions, there was child sacrifice, and of course they ate pigs. And of course, time passes, the Greeks come, they conquer, the Romans come and they conquer, and there's about 100 years or so where Israel regains its independence for a little bit, and then Rome takes it back over. But when Israel was independent for a while, they actually tried to convert these pagans back into Judaism, tried to get them to see Israel's God in their way. But they were resistant, uninterested. They wanted to stick with their way of life, what they wanted to do in their pagan practices. And of course, after Rome comes, they rebuild the city, and of course, it's still a very pagan area, still uninterested, still resistant to God. Until Jesus comes, encounters this man who everyone knows is possessed, who is out of control, out of his mind, and impossible to deal with. And yet here he is changed, and Jesus sends him as the first missionary back into this area that had all of these encounters with Israel and Israel's God. That they then, this man, for the first time, told these guys that God's love extended to them, that mercy was also available to them. And what this man does is he shares his life change with this people. Then the Holy Spirit begins to work the ground there. And so when Jesus then sends his disciples off after Pentecost, because remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says to the disciples, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the rest of the world. And we see this expanding in the book of Acts. And then by the time we get to chapter 9, it tells us that Paul, before he was Paul, he was known as Saul, he was going to this town called Damascus to go arrest some Christians that were hanging out there. Now we know that Damascus is actually part of the Decapolis, which tells us that this man who went off after his experience with Jesus had begun converting people, had been telling people about Jesus and Israel's God. And all of a sudden these Christians have showed up, and now there's this expansion of the kingdom right there, and the church is growing and growing and growing. And of course, Saul's going to go in to arrest them because all of a sudden there's Christians there where there was no Christians before. They were resistant. They were uninterested. And yet there's this life change that happens that sets the ground for all this stuff to happen, to where even Paul himself is said in his missionary journeys that people would get healed when they would borrow Paul's towel that he would wipe his face. Or in this ground that Peter would walk and they would just want to be touched by a shadow and there would be healing. Because life change was happening where God's people stepped, where God's people went and shared the love and mercy of God, because Jesus went to the cross and was raised 3 days later. Seven nations once pushed out, God says, I'm now bringing my people back in. Who knew that a very pagan and wicked place would now house hundreds and then thousands of Christians sharing God's love, impacting lives from the individual to a mass scale? And the man who was possessed, he didn't need a seminary degree. He didn't need a master's. He didn't need a certificate. All he had to do was share his story. To share the love that he received from God and tell others about it. There's no show me the proof. He was the proof because his life was changed. And as the neighbor opened his story, then those Christians came in and they brought in more change. They were able to share the story about who this Jesus is and this God of Israel who loved them too. And so I began to think about, as I was reading about this story this week, about God's ambition for the world and how he wants us to be a part of this mission and this vision he has to share this love, to share this good news so that when Jesus returns, he's going to bring everyone back to him from the four corners of the earth. You, me, everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. And I got to thinking about these seven nations, and it reminded me that this church started with seven people by the river. Seven people by the river with a pastor that showed up once a quarter. Here in Burlington that we talked about several weeks ago. That God had the vision for this place and for this church, for this building and for you, for everyone to be a part of what he's doing here now. And they got to think about how ambitious God is and that no one should be more ambitious than the church. No one should have a bigger vision that God is leading them to transform and to change the world than we. And yet businesses have these grand visions of themselves, and yet it's through their economics and through selling product, and yet we have the best gift in the world, the best news, because it's free. And it changes complete lives. It's not a product to make you run faster, jump faster, or buy something cheaper. It's to change your life inside and out, to provide eternity with the God of the universe who loves them. And so I went back to the businesses that I shared with you last week and looked at how ambitious they were. Dairy Queen wants to be the world's favorite quick service restaurant, which is a pretty ambitious goal considering with McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and Taco Bell. Walmart wants to create opportunity, build a more sustainable future, advance diversity, equity, inclusion, and bring communities closer together, which is a pretty lofty goal for a box store that sells cheap goods. Looked at Nike. Their goal was to move the world forward by building community and protecting the planet and increasing access to sport. This must be some crazy good shoes. But that's what they set out to do. Through their way. And I don't take it as me mocking them, because those are pretty good and lofty goals. But there's something about Jesus that whoever truly encounters him experiences true and genuine life change, who causes the waters to split, who raises up nations and brings them down, who has conquered sin and death. And so shouldn't our ambition be any less than these companies? Because if we are true to our mission, if we are true to our vision, then we should have buy-in as a people into what we are doing here. Energy will go up. Investment improves. Our service expands. Nothing floored me more than when I went to South Korea, and of course, they were just an awesome, generous church for us. Who were traveling and visiting with them. But one thing we noticed was, you know, all the missions they did. Of course, I've shared before about, you know, they built churches and community centers. I mean, who invested in that? I mean, that's part of their main goal as this large church is to plant churches, not just in Seoul, not just in South Korea, but across the world. And as they build churches, they also build community centers. I mean, holy smokes, who does that? But as we were looking at their other mission that they do, you know, right on their front door, they were doing, you know, selling products and making things available for those in their community, and they were creating opportunities because they don't have, places for old folks to go, and so they create these community centers so people can come, so children can learn music, they can learn English. I mean, all of this wonderful stuff. And as you know, pastors from America, we're thinking, you know, how are you able to do this? And they say, well, we stay true to our mission. We pursue the vision so that the people will trust us with what we do, and they want to be involved in what we do. And then they said, and the thing that floored me the most, they said, we ask our people if they will give generously, if they will put in their tithe, we will never ask for money. I've never heard of a church in America who hasn't had to ask for money. But as they are true to the mission, true to pursuing the vision, to where the people get excited and want to be involved, they don't have to ask for anything. And so I got to thinking about here, about us. Are we excited for what God is doing here? Do we want to be involved in what God wants to do here? Do we want to continue the work that seven people by a river started here? That one guy who said, you know, we need a public school, and just launched a public school in the church. Do we want to receive a God-given vision on how we can transform our community, our county, and the world? And so I was laying in bed the other night, not sleeping, as usual. And I was having this conversation with God, and I wanted to share with you some of the what-ifs that I experienced. What if those who were alone and isolated found a home in this church? What if those who were rejected by family and peers found acceptance and belonging here? What if those struggling for work found a church supporting and elevating local businesses to eliminate joblessness? What if those who were looking for meaning and purpose encountered it in this church and encountered a holy God who loved them? What if those needing a helping hand didn't have to guess where that help would come from, but they knew a church where they could call without question? What if those who were uninterested and resistant met God because of the love shared by the people in this church and came to believe? What if by sharing God's love led to 500 people worshiping in celebration in this room because of what God is doing, and then after each worship service, this church sends each other out to do it all over again? What if? What if this church shares God's love? What if? So what is our vision? Well, our vision, it's on your bulletin, to share God's love with Coffee County and the world. That is what we have committed to do. This is how we've promised to do life change and to share life change, is that we start here and we work our way outward. And we are involved in several places where we are transforming lives here in Burlington, Coffee County, and the world. The thing is, sometimes it's easy to forget because we get busy. We get distracted. Amen? I bet I can get several witnesses there. And I came across this picture. If they could put it up, please. This is a picture of a map of that's in Kingsway Church in Indianapolis. And that's a map of their part of Indianapolis. And in the middle of that map is a K where their church is. And at the top there, if you can read it, says, "Love our neighbors." This is right by the front door. Right by the front door. So there's no question who they're trying to love. There's no question on where their mission field is. There's no question on who they are trying to reach. They're reaching those who are their neighbors right across the street, right and right down the road, to change lives right where they're at. And so I got to thinking as I was taking this picture and thinking about this week, I was like, I wonder what it'd be like if what we would think week in and week out, or whenever we'd step in this building, if we had a picture of Coffee County on the wall. Would we remember then that we are to share God's love with everyone we meet, whether we are here in Burlington, whether we're down in Gridley, whether we're in Leroy, or Waverly, or whether we go to Kansas City, Topeka, St. Louis? Remind us that we are to share God's love with Coffee County and the world. What if? What would happen if we did that? And so I've got some questions for you as we close out the message here. Because we have our Decapolis, we have Coffee County in the world, an area that sometimes seems to us uninterested and resistant. And yet God has a plan. And if God makes the vision so, then we can accomplish the vision. So then I ask you, who is hurting that God wants us to heal? Who is lost that Jesus wants us to find? Who is God wanting us to reach that he wants us and no one else to share his love with? You probably have someone pictured in your mind. Maybe a project, someone to talk to, someone who may need some big time help, or someone who may not, who may just need to hear the word hi. How are you? Because they've been ignored and isolated. And that even that simple hi can change their life. What if? What if? What if? So let's do it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your vision. Vision, Lord, that one day you will return, you will gather your people from the four corners of the earth to bring us all together, to be reunited with loved ones, Lord, those who are alive and those who have passed before us, Lord, all made new, all resurrected into new eternal life. And Lord, you have called us to share this good news, to share the life change that you have given to us. And Lord, I pray for everyone here in person and online that we become willing and eager to share what you are doing in our lives and in this church, Lord, that we become the epicenter of revival, that from here we launch people out every single day so that they may know that you are God, that you love them, and that you sent us to be representatives of that love. So that there will be no more slander, no more accusations, Lord. All they encounter is you. And even if they're uninterested and resistant, they will experience the genuine presence of the Holy Spirit because they've encountered us. And Lord, we pray that this is so. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.